chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. I'd like to read from verse 1 down to verse number 5, if you would follow along. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we ask now that you would teach us from your precious word. O God, enlarge our hearts for worldwide evangelism, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen. Here in verse number 5, Jeremiah determined he was going to seek out great men. Note then verse number 5, I will get me unto the great men. God told Jeremiah to look for one righteous man, and if there was one, he would spare the nation of judgment. Note there at the end of verse number 1, and will pardon it. Jeremiah noted their lip service only with no proof of any genuine righteousness, and that's the essence of verses 2 and 3. Verse 2, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. They say on the one hand, yes, God is real, saying one thing but doing another. So Jeremiah seems to excuse their unrighteousness in verse number 4. He said, surely, Lord, they're poor, they're foolish, they're ignorant. They don't know any better. It's not true. So Jeremiah, in verse number 5, decided that he would look for righteous men amongst those that are in leadership. Didn't seem like there was anybody that followed righteousness. And God said via Jeremiah, if I can only find one, I'll spare the nation. So basically Jeremiah said, I think they're just ignorant, Lord. They're just a bit simple, naive. So Jeremiah responds and said, I will get me under the great men. I will look amongst the leadership. Surely amongst the leadership there are some righteous individuals. So Jeremiah decided he would look for righteousness amongst those in leadership. He refers to these individuals in verse 5 as the great men. Why were they great? Well, we read on in verse number 5, he goes on to spell out their greatness was simply because, for they have known the way of the Lord, the judgments of their God. These are the great men. But as far as the people are concerned, those that are not in leadership, they are self-willed. They've altogether broken the yoke. They are self-willed and they've burst the bonds. They've decided to just serve themselves instead of serving God. But Jeremiah said, I'm going to look for some great men. These great men are ones that walk in obedience to the word of God. God's people were not walking in obedience to the word of God, and therefore God pronounced judgment upon them. Note then verse number 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. So he makes reference to judgment pending. So in spite of all this, and in this context, Jeremiah said, I'm going to get me unto the great men. And I'm going to speak with them. I'm going to spend time with them. Those that know the way of the Lord. Those that know and obey the word of God. So in other words, Jeremiah said in essence, I'm going to find great men. And I'm going to spend time with these that love the Lord, that are walking in obedience to the word of God and are fleshing out godliness and holiness. Great men. I will get me unto the great men. And I'd like to challenge you this morning, church family, to spend time with great men. And determine, like Jeremiah of old, I will get me unto the great men. I'm going to spend time, I'm going to speak to, I'm going to commune with those that desire to please their God and walk in obedience to His word. I'm going to find some great men and spend time with these individuals. Another benefit in spending time with the right kind of people, per se great men, as Jeremiah refers to here, is that we can learn from them. And we can be inspired by them. And I'd like to encourage you this morning concerning the importance of you and I spending time with people that will lift us up spiritually. The Bible teaches us evil communication, evil companionship, corrupt good manners or corrupt good character. You and I will become the people we spend time with. Tell me who you spend time with and I'll tell you what you are and what you are becoming. Birds of a feather, let's say it together. You ever seen a parrot and a magpie hanging out together? No. Parrot and a parrot. Magpie and a magpie. Pigeon with a pigeon. Birds of a feather flock together. You are what the people you spend time with. So tell me who you spend time with on the weekend and during the evenings and I'll tell you what you are and what you are becoming. It's as simple as that. So Jeremiah said, I want to get up to the great men. I want to spend time with people that love God and want to obey God. And I'd like to exhort you, child of God, to choose your companionships. Choose wisely who you will spend time with. Because a great benefit of spending time with the right kind of people is that you will learn from them and you will be inspired by them. Now, as a way of application, we can get up with great men by reading books written by great men. I am surrounded by great men in my office in the form of books. They take up the majority of my office. Great men. I have them all around me. And from time to time, in fact, every week, I get up with the great men. I read and I study and I seek to learn from them. So Jeremiah was no doubt referring to leadership within his day. He said, I'm going to get up to the great men. I'm going to spend time that really love God and are obeying His word. Now, we can do that today likewise. But also, we have the privilege that Jeremiah didn't have the privilege of. We have great men that have put in print their minds, what they've learned. And we can get up to the great men by reading good quality books. Read books that are written by great men that will encourage us in many, many areas. I'd also like to encourage you this morning that another way we can get with great men is to read their biographies. To read about their life story, and how God has used them. And with this being Missions Month, there are some great men in the realm of missions that are worth knowing. They will be an inspiration to you in reaching your personal world for Jesus Christ. And they will be an inspiration to you and I in reaching the rest of the world for Jesus Christ. And we have a number of great missionary men on this banner right here. These men are worth knowing. And it's worth knowing how God used each of these men. So let me share a little about some of these great men this morning. And spell out why they are among the great missionary men in modern church history. The 19th century was a wonderful period of time in which God worked in a marvelous way and raised up some great men that took the gospel to the four corners of the earth. They're worth knowing. And hopefully, as we share a little on some of these great men, it will create a thirst within your heart to read their specific biography. The first one I'd like to draw your attention to, Jeremiah said, get me up to the great men. But one great man when it comes to missions is a man by the name of David Livingstone. He's on that far end there, David Livingstone. He was born in 1813 and he went to be with the Lord in 1873, 60 years, died a young man. David Livingstone was a missionary explorer to Africa. It was Dr. David Livingstone. Dr. David Livingstone went to Africa in response to a cry by a seasoned missionary by the name of Robert Moffat. Robert Moffat was called to the mission field of Africa. He was a pioneering missionary to Africa from Scotland. And David Livingstone heard Mr. Moffat make this statement. I quote, "I have seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. I have seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." David Livingstone was challenged by this statement and he answered the call to go to Africa in 1841. Now, he originally joined Moffat upon his arrival and worked with him. David Livingstone was a young Scottish doctor who heeded the call to the mission field. And as a result, many, many souls were reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ in Africa because of this man. He is praised by the British as a great explorer because he was willing to go where nobody else would go. But they did not understand this that the main goal of this man's passion was to open the vast heartland of Africa to the influence of the gospel. He loved the African people and he was prepared to go where no white man was prepared to go. He was willing to go into the heart of Africa, not just to explore, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. When David Livingstone died in Africa, the natives whom he had loved so much, they literally removed his heart. And buried it in a jungle clearing. Then they carried his body to the coast where it could be shipped back to England. And today the remains of David Livingstone are there in Westminster Abbey. His heart was buried in Africa. What can we learn from this great man? The people he sought to reach were so convinced of his love for them that they kept his heart within the country. They were so convinced, this man loves us. This man loved us, that they kept his heart there in Africa. And beloved, may God give us this kind of love for lost souls. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." The world is all inclusive. No matter race, no matter culture, no matter skin color, no matter hair color, no matter living standards, no matter wealth or poverty, for God so loved the world. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And no doubt David Livingstone had such a love for the people of Africa. He was a man of great courage. to go where no other white man was prepared to go. To risk his life, to travel through the jungles of Africa. To what end? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The disciples asked our dear Lord, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Let me ask you this morning, do we care that people are perishing and are on their way to a Christless eternity in hellfire? David Livingstone served God wholeheartedly. In Proverbs 23:26, the Bible reads, "My son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways." This was evident to the people of Africa from the life of David Livingstone. He literally gave his heart for them. He loved them, and they refused to allow his body to leave their shores without keeping his heart in that country. The Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy 6:5 that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of thy might. So David Livingstone, missionary to Africa, said, "I would rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than on the throne of England, out of the will of God." Wonderful quote. Get me up to the great men. David Livingstone was one of those great men. Worth your while to read his life story. Another great man that I'd like to mention to you this morning is a man by the name of J. Hudson Taylor. He's on the other end of our banner. J. Hudson Taylor. Born in 1832. Went to be with the Lord in 1905. J. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China. J. Hudson Taylor was a converted doctor who went to China as a missionary, and he founded a missionary society that he called the China Inland Mission. The purpose of this organization was to help to raise the need for missionaries in China, and a means by which missionaries could be financially supported that are willing to go to China. See, many of the local churches of that day were not sending, in fact, the majority of local churches were not sending and supporting missionaries as they should have. So men like Hudson Taylor had no choice but to provide a missionary structure for the furtherance of the gospel. J. Hudson Taylor was a man that walked with God. As he prepared to go to China, he determined to live in full dependence upon God. He said to himself, "If I can't depend upon God fully here in my homeland, how can I ever trust God when I'm on the mission field?" Determined. For example, he would not, being a physician, he wouldn't ask for his pay as a doctor. He would pray that his boss would remember to pay him and would pay him. That was one way J. Hudson Taylor said, "I'm going to learn to depend upon God. I'm not going to depend upon man. I've worked, I've earned my pay. I'm not going to request my pay. I'm not going to ask for my pay. I'm going to pray that God will lay upon the heart of my employer to pay me." And God used that in the heart of J. Hudson Taylor to teach him to depend upon God fully. He believed this would best prepare him for the mission field. If he could depend upon God in the present, then he could depend upon God in the future on the mission field. When I think of David Livingstone, get me up to the great men, I think of a man that had a heart for people. To the point that they were prepared. Now, I don't know if David Livingstone gave them permission. I'd imagine not. I'd imagine there was no consent given. But I would dare say that probably David Livingstone was honored. To have them unsurgically, Africans, remove his heart, keep it. This is ours. David Livingstone had a heart for people, loved people. And Metropolitan Baptist Church, if we're to move on and reach this world for Jesus Christ, let's not lose sight of the fact that missions is all about people. Eternal souls that have feelings like you and me, that laugh like you and me, that cry like you and me, that have frail bodies like you and me. But for J. Hudson Taylor, man of faith. He was a man of faith. He understood what it means to trust God. J. Hudson Taylor was such a man of great faith. By the time of his death, listen to this. By the time that God saw fit to take J. Hudson Taylor home, there were over 800 missionaries that had caught his vision and passion in reaching the millions of Chinese people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he prayed in by faith support for all the above. Some of those missionaries, famous missionaries, was a gentleman by the name of Jonathan Goforth. He's there tucked in on the side there, just below J. Hudson Taylor. Well-positioned banner designers. Jonathan Goforth was from Canada. God mightily used him in China. He went to China under the influence of J. Hudson Taylor. Another couple by the name of John and Betty Stamm. John and Betty Stamm were martyred for their faith in China. This missionary couple was murdered. They were murdered by communist Chinese soldiers in 1934 for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what can we learn from the life of J. Hudson Taylor? Jeremiah said, get thee up to the great men. Well, when I think of David Livingstone, I think of a man that had a heart for people. He loved people. But when I think of J. Hudson Taylor, I think of a man of faith. Faith to trust God, to provide his every need. Faith to trust God for laborers. Faith to trust God to meet the needs of all those that God has called to China. A man of great faith. And beloved, in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. How can we be men and women full of faith? There is no such gift as the gift of faith today. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, before the completion of Scripture, there were some that were given the spirit of faith. But how do we gain great faith today? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you and I will spend much time in the Word of God, God will increase our faith. The reason why we're so faithless, because we spend so little time in the book. If we would spend more time in the book, my Bible teaches me, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This is the faith agency. And beloved, J. Hudson Taylor was a great man of faith. Under his ministry, he left a legacy of over 800 missionaries in China alone. 800 missionaries preaching the gospel of Christ, because this man chose to believe there is a God in heaven, and my God loves me, and my God is real, and I need to just trust him as a child will trust his parent. That was J. Hudson Taylor. Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Note verse 14. The Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. What is this debt that the Apostle Paul was referring to? Well, look at verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We are saved by faith. We are to live by faith. A person becomes a child of God when they repent of their sin and they invite Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior by faith alone. We are saved by faith. We are to walk by faith. We are to live out our lives by faith. And God is determined in your life and in my life to cause us to walk by faith. In some way. In some context. We at this church practice faith, promise, missions, giving. A missionary offering is not a tithe. It's a faith offering. Where you and I spend time with God and we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do for the sake of world evangelism? and you openly seek the face of God, and you say, God, you lay upon my heart what you want me to give so that others can go. If God hasn't called you to go, faith promised missions giving is a wonderful means by which we can walk by faith. We trust God to provide what He has laid upon our heart to give to missions, and as He provides, we give. J. Hudson Taylor was a man of faith. And because of this man's faith, because of this man's dependence upon God, many, many countless souls have been won to Christ. And only eternity will reveal the influence that this man had, and many of his colleagues and those that went before him and those that have gone after him. Only eternity will reveal the full effect. But one can rest assured that J. Hudson Taylor, because he believed God and because he was a man of faith, God used him mightily for the glory of God. And Jeremiah said, get me up to the great men. J. Hudson Taylor was a great man. And you will be inspired, you will be encouraged if you make the time to read his life story. So likewise, David Livingstone. David Livingstone had a heart for people. J. Hudson Taylor was a man of great faith. If you come back tonight, we'll talk about William Carey. Mr. Judson. My personal favourite, C.T. Studd. Played against Australian cricket. We won. He became a missionary. So come back tonight and I'll tell you about Mr. C.T. Studd. William Carey, Mr. Judson. Jeremiah said, get me up to the great men. Listen to me. Don't be afraid to learn from others. You will sign your death warrant when you have the attitude, well, I'm just going to work it out on my own. I'm just going to study the Bible on my own. Yes, you should study the Bible on your own, but what about all those that have studied the Bible? What about all of those that have done a work for God? Jeremiah said, get me up to the great men. Beloved, spend time with great men. Seek to learn. Seek to glean. And we have today what Jeremiah did not have. We have great men in the form of their writings. And as you read the life stories of great men, and if you read subject matters that they've studied, you might learn something that might inspire you, encourage you to be what you should be. My office is full of great men. You're welcome to visit and ask the question, what has made Pastor Schiavone, Pastor Schiavone? I can take you to my office and there they are. Many of these great men, in the form of books in my office, have made me the man that I am today. Let's get up to the great men. Let's bow for prayer. Let's stand.